We'll say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Hey 35. We are picking up on Lamed Dalid Amud Beis Bishlama. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line, Bishlama. So we'll say the Gemara is going to go back and make reference to, remember again, a couple of days ago, we had the Machlokas, or what appeared to be a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maseches Makos. Because our Mishnah explained that if you go ahead and you violated certain women, so the Mishnah explained that Lamaisa there'd be a knas, you'd still have to pay the penalty payment. But the Mishnah Makos says that you go out and you get makos, you go out and you get lashes. So remember again, we had a number of different versions of how to reconcile those two particular braisos. We had Rabbi Yochanan who explained that ultimately was the din of Hasra. We had Rish Lakish. So now the Gemara is going to go back and try to contrast these opinions. So says the Gemara, Bishlama Rabbi Yochanan, lo amar Kresh Lakish. Rabbosai, I understand why Rabbi Yochanan didn't hold the Kresh Lakish. Now remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that in a lokium mishalim, you can't go ahead and get Malkus and pay. Therefore, the way Rabbi Yochanan set up everything was that the case of Malkus was where a person got Hasra. Because they got Hasra, therefore they got Malkus. As opposed to, again, in our Mishnah, where there was no Hasra, no prior warning that what one was doing was wrong. Therefore, the Maisa, again, there was Mishalim, there was a financial penalty, but there was no Malkus. So I understand what Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say like Reish Lakish. I understand, because remember, Reish Lakish was going to set up the Braisa like Rabbi Meir, to kambokim lo kirabanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan is interested in setting up the Mishnah in accordance with the position of the Rabbanan, which is the majority opinion. El Reish Lakish, my time alomak Rabbi Yochanan. But why did Reish Lakish not hold like Rabbi Yochanan? Amar lachar Reish Lakish will tell you, Kevan de'ilu asru bei potter, since if they were to go out and give warning to the perpetrator, he would be potter from mammon. He would be potter from the financial payment. Kilo asru bei nami potter. So also Reish Lakish advanced a very interesting idea. Since if he were to get hasra for the act of violating the woman, he would be potter from the money because he'd be liable to the malchus. So even in a case where there is no hasra, he's also going to be potter. Look at Rashi. Rashi says the following: Kilo asru bei nami potter hoel viikat sad malchus. So also Reish Lakish is going to say that essentially, whenever there is a situation where there's the potential for malchus, even if you can't administer actual malchus because of a technical issue. What's the technical issue in this case? Technical issue is that there's no hasra. Reish Lakish will still say whenever there is the possibility of malchus, that by definition exempts one from paying. Again, even if you can't administer malchus itself. And Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan both go according to their reasoning. But if you have the following situation, chayve miso shogigin means someone does an act b'shogig that had they done it b'mezid, they would have been chayve miso. So simple case, Reuven kills Shimon accidentally. Had he done that act intentionally, that's where to carry with it a death penalty. Or chayve miso malkios shogigin. Or for example, someone does an act that had they done it intentionally, they would have been chayve malkus. But now they did it unintentionally. V'davar acher, and something else. I will say something else refers to tashlumin, to monetary payment, to mammon. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says in those cases, Chayiv L'Shalim, Rabbi Yochanan says you have to go ahead and pay. Yeah, in those cases, Rabbosai, where essentially, again, there's no Misa because you were a Shogig, and there's no Malkus because you were a Shogig, you have to pay, right? You're Mishalim, you have to go ahead and pay. Reish Lakish is Potter. On the other hand, Reish Lakish is your Potter. Rabbosai, why does Reish Lakish say your Potter? Because remember, what did we just say before? Reish Lakish holds that in any situation where there's the potential for Malkus, even if what? Even if you are not going to get the Malkus itself, you are still potter from Tashlumin. So the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is like this. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree that technically speaking, if you're getting Malkus, then what? Or for that matter, if you're getting Misa. So if you're getting Misa or Malkus, you're not meeting Mishalim, you're not paying. You're not paying anything. Everyone's agreeing with that. However, again, where they disagree is the following. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're only exempt from paying if you get actual Malkus or you get actual Misa. According to Reish Lakish, if you transgress something that had you done it in an intentional way, you would get Malkus, even if you're not actually now getting Malkus, you're still going to be exempt from paying. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yochanan said you're going to be chayiv in Mamon, because since there was no Hasra, since there was no prior warning, therefore he can't get Malkus, because he can't get Malkus, therefore you're going to have to pay. Reish Lakish Amar Potter, Reish Lakish Amar says, your Potter, why? Kevan Dilu Asrube Potter. Because Kilo Asrube Nami Potter, because Reish Lakish will say like this, since technically if there was Hasra, you would have gotten Malkus, and had you gotten Malkus, you would have been exempt from paying. So too, again, the novelty is, Rose, this is where Rashi coins this term, wherever there is a Tzad Malkus. Tzad Malkus means is wherever Malkus are possible, that is enough to exempt you from financial payments. So Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish, so I'll say, it's a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish now. Again, in terms of Rabbi Yochanan saying you're only exempt from Tashlumin, from payment, if you get actual Malkus. Reish Lakish actually says that even if there was the possibility for Malkus, even if you are not getting Malkus because of a technicality either A, because you didn't get Asra, or technicality because you're a Shogeg and not a Mezid, you are still going to be exempt from Tashlumin.
He's not guilty, though. Let's say they had the two possibilities. One of them is they then take him to a Beis Din and they find out that he's not guilty.
No, if you're not guilty, then you don't get it.
No, but there was a possibility had he been guilty.
No, if you're not guilty, you're not going to have to pay Mamon.
Yeah, but then you go ahead and give him the other one?
No, not if he's not guilty. If he's not found guilty by a Beis Din, now of course not. These are all talking about situations where there is some level of penalty that's incurred. Correct. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish raised the cash against Rabbi Yochanan. V'lo yason. So we'll say this is talking about the pasuk where two men are fighting, and they knock into a pregnant woman. Menagfu ishahara v'yatza yiladeha, she miscarries. V'lo yihye ason. And literally, there was no loss of life. So the Gemara says, V'lo yason. So what does the pasuk say? Anosh ye anesh. So the individual is punished. Top of Lamed Hey. My love, ason mamish. Now, what does this mean? Velo ye ason. What kind of ason are we talking about? Rash says, my love, ason mamish. Imlo mesa haisha ye anesh hanogev bidme velados. Meaning, is this not saying that as long as the woman did not die, so the perpetrator is punished ultimately with financial penalty, but dme velados for the amount, so to speak, of the miscarriage, however we evaluate that. But what can you infer from here? The only reason why there's a financial payment over here is because lamaisa, the woman was not killed, but had the woman been killed, then lamaisa, there would not have been a financial penalty, but rather, again, there would have been at least malchus, even without hasra, even without any kind of prior warning, therefore it's a kasha. Kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, to which the Gemara says, lo din ason. Rather, the Gemara says, no, ason in this case actually means misa. Look at Rashi, lo din ason. This is what the pasuk means to say. Im ein mishpat mavis lenogev, if there's no death penalty for the perpetrator, kigon shalom eisaish, like for example, he didn't kill the woman, rather, what it means is that in any situation where there is no asra, and more importantly, there is no intent, there will never be a death penalty. Rather, again, there'll be a secondary punishment. Others explain, others say, no, that this actually was a kasha from Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, not Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, v'lo yason. Anesh Yanesh, same pasuk Rabbi Osai. Men are fighting. They go ahead and they knock into the pregnant. One of them knocks into the pregnant woman, causes her to miscarry. Lo yason, but she does not die. Anoshi Anesh. So my love din ason. Are we not talking about again a din ason meaning of misa? Lo ason mamish. Rather, the Gemara says no. The pasuk is not talking about din misa. Rather, again, the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is talking of my love din ason. My love din ason. Are we not referring to the actual din of misa? And therefore, the pasuk is saying over here that you don't execute this person for what he did to the pregnant woman because the misa, it was unintentional. To which the Gemara says, lo ason mamish. Rather, again, we're talking about over here a situation where pasuk saying the woman did not die. Amar Rava, Umi ikalaman domer chayvim miso shogigin chayavim. That Rava says the following. Now, is there really a leg to stand on for the man domer who says that chayvim miso shogigin chayavim? Chayavim over here means l'shalim. So Rava is asking like this. And now what we've established is that there is an opinion that says that if someone committed an act, they killed someone accidentally, that they be chayiv to pay for the damages. Is that true? V'hatana, but we learned, v'hatana de bechizkia, but we learned, makya adam u'makya behema. The Torah equates one who strikes an animal and one who strikes a person, or one who strikes a person, one who strikes an animal. So we'll say the pasuk he's talking about over here is u'makya behema yishlamena. One who goes ahead and injures or kills an animal has to pay. U'makya adam yumas. But if a person goes ahead and strikes or injures, or let's call it strikes a person, such a person is put to death. So the Gemara says, what's the pshat over here? So ma make behema lo chilakta bo ben shogeg ben mezid ben miskavin l'shem miskavin. So we'll say, when it comes to if a person injures or kills an animal, so we don't make a distinction if a person did it intentionally or unintentionally. Person had kavana, not kavana, I should say purposeful, accidentally, kavana, intentionally, without intention. Derech yirida, derech aliyah, I kill the animal with an upward motion, downward motion. The halacha is lepotro mamon. In none of these cases will exempt the person. El lechayvo mamon. But rather, again, in all of these cases, the perpetrator will be chayiv to pay. So also remember, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is just like when it comes to the killing of an animal, it doesn't matter what your intention was, what your intention wasn't, how you did it, how you didn't do it. At the end of the day, you are chayiv mamon. You have to pay. You have to pay for the damages you did. Af makya adam. So to the Torah equates this to one who strikes a person. Lo tachlok bo. You shouldn't make a distinction. Bein shogeg bein mezid. Intentionally or unintentionally. Miskavin. I should say purposefully or accidentally. Miskavin l'shein miskavin. Intentionally or unintentionally. Bein derech yirida la derech aliyah. Whether you did it in a downward motion or upward motion. L'chayvo mamon. But rather, again, we should say that in all of these cases, what? A person should always be exempt from financial payment. Financial payment, which tells you what? That even in situations where you can't administer a death penalty because it was b'shogeg or it wasn't miskavein, that there would still not be an obligation to pay. Now, granted, I will say there'd be an obligation for malchus, but there's no obligation to pay. Now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, obviously, the Torah doesn't mean to equate the laws of one who kills an animal, one who kills a man. But what the Gemara is suggesting over here is what the Torah does mean to do is to give you a standard. And just like when you kill an animal, there's a standard. And the standard is you have to pay no matter what you do. So perhaps the standard when you injure or kill a person accidentally is also a standard. What's the standard? Whatever your punishment is going to be, one thing it's not going to be, which is what? It's not going to be mashalim. It's not going to be tashlumin. It's not going to be repayment. It might be death if you do it intentionally, or it might be malchus if you do it unintentionally, but there's not going to be a chiv mamon. Ela ki asa Ravin Amar. Rather, when Ravin came along, he said, chayve misos shogigin. I will say again, if someone goes ahead and kills someone accidentally, which remember, in a way that had they done it intentionally, they would be chayiv misa, but now, of course, they did it unintentionally. Kuli amalo pligi dipturin. Everyone agrees that they are pater. Now, I will say pater in this case means from payment, from tashlumin. Everyone agrees that if you accidentally kill someone, you are pater from tashlumin, you are pater from payment. Ki pligi, so when do they argue? Bechayve malchus shogigin v'davar acher. So we'll say, when do they argue? They argue in the following case where a person does something that carries with it a chiyuv of malchus, a chiyuv of lashes. But remember, carries with it a chiyuv of lashes had you done the act intentionally, but now you've done it unintentionally. But that same act also carries the potential for what? Potential for monetary compensation, for mamon. So what's the halacha in such a case like this? So we'll say, what's interesting about this, by the way, and you could see over here, that this is indeed how the halacha paskins, that if you accidentally kill someone, you kill someone b'shogeg, in a way that had you done intentionally b'chayiv misa, that there is no din of tashlumin. There is no financial compensation. Now granted, we know when we get to Maseches Makos and other mesectos like that, we'll discuss about the punishments that are in place for a person who kills b'shogeg, but mamon is not one of those punishments. Tashlumin is not part of the equation. Where does the machlokis come up with? If a person did something intentionally, intentionally that would carry with it the penalty of Malkus. What's the halach in such a situation like that? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says you are Chayiv. Now we'll say Chayiv means what? Chayiv means that where there is Malkus, where there is, now remember, I want to be clear. In this case, there is no Malkus. Because remember, what are we talking about over here? You did something accidentally that had you done it intentionally, you would be Chayiv Malkus. What?
Just swinging a bat around.
So, or even, of course, even leaving, let's leave aside a case, but I was going to give a simpler case. Person goes out and eats something non-kosher. Person eats something non-kosher. Right? So I've gone out and I've violated a law. Technically speaking, that would carry with, no, actually, maybe your case is better. Right? So you injure yourself. Oh, because injury cases, by definition, would carry with them also financial penalties. Let's keep a case that doesn't have any financial penalties. I eat a cheeseburger. So that carries with it a law. That carrot was good. Rashi brings down that a person is not supposed to say, when it comes to non-kosher food, a person not say, oh, that's disgusting. I would never eat that. A person is supposed to say, oh, how good that looks, how much I desire it. But what could I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that I'm not, because the person says disgusting, so I'm not doing it because I don't want it. The person says, oh, it looks so delicious, looks so wonderful. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to have it. Then I'm mamish not eating it because of the Ribono Shel Olam. So I eat the cheeseburger. So what happens? So that's Chayiv Lavin. Now again, remember, had I done that intentionally, I'd be Chayiv Malkus. I'd be Chayiv Lashes. Now, but I did it unintentionally. So obviously, because I did it unintentionally, there is no chiyuv, there is no obligation for lashes in such a situation like that. So now the question is what? The question is, am I chayiv mamon? Right? Am I chayiv some type of compensation? Actually, no. Okay. It's a bad case. The cheeseburger case, because there's no compensation in that case. It has to be, Yachmiel's right, it has to be a personal injury case where there is. Okay, so I injure someone in a way that Lamaisa, again, would normally go ahead and carry a Chiyuv Malkus, but because I did it unintentionally, there's no Chiyuv Malkus. So the question is, do I have to pay? So what's that, Locha? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have to go ahead and I have to pay. Why? Chayve misos iskish. Because ultimately, again, remember, chayve misos are compared to the case of Behema, but chayve malkios lo iskish. But chayve malkios are not comparable. So take a look at Rashi over here. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Chayve Misos Iskish, Lamake Behema. So remember, the Chayve Misos are compared ultimately again to the case of Chayve Behema that we saw before. But however, Chayve Malkus are not. And therefore, Abosai, what does that mean? That in Chayve Misos cases, there's an absoluteness just like Chayve. Remember, Torah equates injuring an animal to killing a person, or killing an animal to killing a person. And we said, just like by killing the animal, you're never going to be Chayiv Misa, you're always going to be Chayiv Mamon. So too, when you kill a person, you're always going to be Chayiv Misa, never Chayiv Mamon. And even if you kill the person unintentionally, where there is no Chayiv Misa, there's still not going to be a Chayiv of Mamon. But Rabbi Yochanan says, it's only killing a person that's linked to killing a behema. Injuring a person is not. Therefore, in a case of injuring a person where you don't get malchus, because again, you've done it unintentionally, you will what? You will have to pay. However, Resh Lakish as Potter, Beferish Rips the Torah Chayve Malkios Kechayve Misos, because the Torah explicitly links those who are liable to lashes with those who are liable to death. And just like in a case of liability to death, there is never Tashlumen, there's never an obligation to repay, even if you kill a person accidentally, so too Vechayve Malkios is never an obligation of Mamon, even if what? Even if you did the act unintentionally, so there's no Chiyuv Malkus. So we'll say, before we go on, so this is the fundamental issue between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Ravin then, everyone is going to agree with the following. Everyone is going to agree that if you kill someone accidentally, obviously there's no death penalty in such a situation. But not only is there no death penalty, but what? There's no obligation of Tashlumin. Where do they argue? They argue if you accidentally violated a penalty that carries with it Malkus. Had you done it intentionally, but now I did it unintentionally. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Lamaisi, you will be Chayiv Mamon. Reish Lakish says you will not. Rabbi Yochanan says you will be Chayiv Mamon because only Chayiv Misos were compared to Makke Behema, but not Chayiv Malkios. Reish Lakish will say that you are Chayiv, that you are Pater. Why? Because Torah explicitly links Chayiv Malkios with Chayiv Misos. So the Gemara says, Heichan Ribsa Torah, where does the Torah link Chayiv Malkios with Chayiv Misos? Amr Abayi Asya Rasha Rasha. There's a Gzer Shavav Rasha Rasha. Rava Amr Asya Makya Makya. Rava says, no, it's a Gzer Shavav Makya Makya. Amr Li Rapapa the Rava. Hey Makir. So Rapapa says, Rava, where do you get that Gzer Shavav Makya Makya? So also, remember, all this is doing is it's linking the dynamics of Misa to the dynamics of Malkus. Now, what's according to Reish Lakish, what is the chap of linking those two things? That just like Misa, there is never a din mamon. Meaning, even if you kill someone accidentally, where you're not going to be put to death, there is never an obligation for Tashlumin. So too, if you link Malkus to Misa, there will also never be an obligation of mamon when it comes to Malkus as well. Meaning, so even if you do something that had you done intentionally, carry a penalty of Malkus, but I did it unintentionally, there still would be no chiv to pay. So that's the Gzir Shav does. So Rabbi said to Abaye, where did you get your Maki Maki Gzir Shav from? Ilema Umaki Behemi Yishlam and Umaki Adam, you must. So maybe you'll say from the Pasuk where it says, if you strike an animal, you have to pay, but if you strike a person, you're put to death. You can't use that Gzir Shav because that's not talking about Malkus. Hai Biktalaksi, that's talking about murder. Elahai Maki, rather it's referring to this Maki. Maki Nefesh Behemi Yishlamena, Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Pasuk says, if you go ahead and you strike the animal, you have to go on and you have to pay. Nefesh tachas nefesh v'samachli. What does it say after that? V'ish ki yitein mum ba'amito kasher asa ken yi asa lo. So mostly the Torah juxtaposes to the case of injuring a person to the case of killing an animal. V'hai lav maki. There's only one problem. That pasuk doesn't say maki in it, right? That pasuk says v'ish ki yitein mum ba'amito. Doesn't say the word maki. You can't make a gzir shava without the same word. To which the Gemara says, Anan haka haka kamina. We don't mean to make a gzir shava of maki maki, rather we mean to make a gzir shava of two between two psukim that are talking about hitting. So we'll say, so in actuality, it's not really a gzir shava, it's more what's called a comparison. It's a comparison. V'ha ki ksiv v'chova b'chaveru hu d'chsiv. But one second, that pasuk is about someone who injures his friend. V'chova b'chaveru bar tashlumin hu. And I will say, but one second, we know when you injure your friend, that is a case of where there is monetary payments, right? There's chamisha dron, you have to pay five different types of damages. Im eino in yilaka, sheish bo shaver pruta. To which the Gemara says, you're right, if you don't need it to teach you about a case of where he injured someone, where there was a shaver pruta, you must remember that damages only apply in a situation where you damage someone in a way that the damages are worth, quote-unquote, at least the pruta. Use it for a situation of where I damaged my fellow, but the total of the damages is less than a pruta. And I will say, if the damages are less than a pruta, then what? Then lamaisa, again, there is no obligation of compensation. But there still would be an obligation of what? I would have thought that there would be an obligation of Malkus. Therefore, Reish Lakish teaches us that there's no obligation of Malkus in such a situation like this as well. Amud Beis. Sof, sof, lav bar tashluminu. Right? But at the end of the day, he would not go ahead and be chayef tashlumin. Why not, Rabosai? Because since the injury that's being visited upon the victim is less than a shaver pruta, therefore there is no obligation. There is no obligation for compensation. To which the Gemara says, "Lo tzvicha de bahadi demachye kara shira in delay." Now you know why it's necessary, because at the moment that you injure him, you also tear his clothing. Literally, you tear his silk clothing. The idea over here is that there are damages of more than a shaver pruta. The injury itself may not be more than a shaver pruta, but the other damages done, i.e., the tearing of his clothing, cause it to be damages that's more than a shaver pruta. Okay, look at Rashi. The bahade demachye kar shiran kilomar vashmo inon deloke mishum chavala. And the chiddush over here would be that you go and you get Malkus because you injured your friend, but you would be potter from paying for the clothing that you tore. Loshna hisru bo, veloshna lo hisru bo, veloshna lo hisru. Delo laki potter mitashlumin. Delo laki potter mitashlumin. Naikish delo tachlo. Fine. To which the Gemara says, Amar le Rava, Amar le Ravchia le Rava. Ulatana de Bechiskia, the Amar Makia do Maki Behema. So the Gemara says, according to the Tana of the Bechiskia, who makes this comparison between Makia Adam and Makia Behema, and tells you that the same way that when you go ahead and you injure the animal, you are chayiv in all situations of tashlumin, so too if you go ahead and you kill someone, right? Even if you kill someone accidentally, you are putter from tashlumin altogether. Mimai de Bechoksiv. How do you know that pasuk is talking about literally the weekday? Dilma, b'Shabbos k'siv. Perhaps that pasuk is talking about these type of acts that are done on Shabbos. And we'll say, now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. B'mai d'b'chol k'siv. D'pshitale, d'makeh behema ben shogeg ben mezid chayev l'shalem. Because we'll say, again, remember, if it's talking about during the week, whether you injured the animal intentionally or unintentionally, you'll be chayev to go ahead and pay. However, if on Shabbos, look at Rashi, Dilma b'Shabbos k'siv, Val karchach ashogeg k'siv. And I will say, now, if this case was talking about on a Shabbos, this would be a situation, ultimately, again, of shogeg. Dig'i b'mezir havelei mischai b'nafsho, patim minat ha-shumen. And I will say, this pasuk that says that whenever you injure an animal, whenever you kill an animal, you are chayiv to pay, we assume is talking about during the week. Why, I will say? Because if you went ahead and you killed an animal on Shabbos, what's the halacha? Kimlei b'drav aminei. You would not be chayiv for tashlumin. Why? Because you'd be chayiv for death. Why are you chayiv for death? Because shechting an animal, killing an animal, is one of the lamates melachos, and if you intentionally violated Shabbos, there's a death penalty. So now, Bosa, the only way you would be potentially liable for payment on Shabbos is how? Is if you kill the animal accidentally. If you kill the animal b'shogeg, then einachinami, of course, you're not chayiv for violating Shabbos, and you would have to pay financial compensation to the owner of the animal. So the Gemara says, mimayid b'chol k'siv. So how do you know to set up this pasuk of makeh adam makeh behema for during the week? How do you know the pasuk is referring to weekday activity? And therefore, you make no distinction between shogeg and mezid. Because also remember, if you kill the animal during the week, it really makes no difference if you kill the animal intentionally or unintentionally. Either way, the bottom line is the same, which is what? You have to pay. Dilma b'Shabbos k'siv. Maybe the pasuk is referring to Shabbos. Did the behema gufa ikal eflugi? Rabbi said, I remember, if this pasuk is talking about Shabbos, then you can make a distinction. What's the distinction? If you killed the animal b'mezid, then you violated Shabbos. There's certainly no financial compensation. Why? Kamle b'drav mineh, because you're going to be killed. There's execution. However, if you did it unintentionally, that's where there would be a chiyuv of tashlumin, because lemaisa, again, it was not your intention to go ahead and violate Shabbos. Therefore, you'd have to pay. To which the Gemara says, lo, sakadait chodichsev, umake behem yisham, and umake adam, yumas. The pasuk says, if you go ahead and you kill an animal, you have to pay. But if you strike a person, you will die. Hey, chidami, what's the case? Idalo asrube, if the guy received no prior warning, makya adam amay yumas, then why would he be put to death if he killed a person? Ela pshida da asrube. Rather, it must be a case of where he got asra prior to killing the person. V'i Shabbos, and if it's a case of where this is occurring on Shabbos, make behema yishamena. Could it be again? See what I say? So the fact that the make adam case is a case of hasra, person was fully cognizant of what they were doing. Therefore, the make behema case must also be a case, not necessarily of hasra, of where a person was in the know of what they were doing. If that's the case, that you were in the know of what you were doing, you had hasra before you killed the animal, then would there be tashlumin? Of course, there wouldn't be tashlumin. Or would there be rabbi say? There'd be misa because you violated Shabbos. Therefore, elalav b'chol. Rather, it must be referring to a case of where this was done during the week. Amrli Rabbi Abaye. So Rabbi said to Abaye, L'rabba d'amar chidishu shechid shetorah b'knas. I will say, according to that which we learned by Rabbi. Remember, Rabbi is the one, we saw this yesterday, that there's a chidish that the Torah advanced by knas, by a penalty payment. And what's the chidish? V'af agav d'miktol mashalim. Rabbi said, remember, the chidish was that even though you are executed, you still pay. You still pay. Me and say, remember again, that Rav was the one who advanced this idea that even though we say you can't get misa and mamon, right? You can't be, there's no misa, you can't be executed and also have a financial penalty. Remember again, Rav advanced the chiddush, there is misa and knas. You can go ahead and be executed, but yet still have to pay the penalty payment. So the Gemara says, Vafik of the Mitzvah Shalim, Masnisin Keman Mokim. Who does he establish the Mishnah like? Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's actually Rashi right across. Masnisi kema mokim, lishanuye rumya diraminon Allah, de Elohein alokin, the kaimalon de in lokim shal. Also remember, what he's asking over here is there was a problem with the Gemara Maseches Makis. Because Gemara Maseches Makis said that if you violated these particular women, Mishnah gave this list, you have to go ahead and you get Malkus. The problem is, we said you can't get Malkus and also pay. So who does the Mishnah reflect? Kiman Mokim Lo, Ik Rabbi Meir, Kashya Bito. If it's like Rabbi Meir, then the problem is the case of where a man violates his daughter was problematic, because Rabbi Meir is one who says loke umushalim, that you go and you can get malchus and you also could pay. The problem was that the Mishnah indicated that what? That if you violate your daughter, you only get malchus and you don't pay. Or if it's like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, like we saw for Rashi says he also holds the Rashi says nami loke mushalim Rabbi Meir. He also holds that you can get malchus and have to pay kasha choso. The problem is the case of where one violates his sister is problematic. Ikrabi Yitzchak Rabbi say now the Gemara is going through all the shitos that we've discussed in the past. Ikrabi Yitzchak, and if the Mishnah follows the view like Rabbi Yitzchak, Rashi says over here veikrabi Yitzchak tukma. That you get no malchus for any situation where there is a penalty of kares, then kashe mamzeres. Then ultimately the mamzeres case is problematic. So the Gemara says, "Hani chayisav la Rabbi Yochanan." Who nami mitaris like Rabbi Yochanan? If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, he could say that Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan. Ela isavar kereish lakish heichim mitaris la. But if he holds like kereish lakish, ultimately again, how can he go ahead and answer up the Mishnah? Rabbi Gemara says al karachach Rabbi Yochanan spirale. It must be that in fact he holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Amarli Rav Masna la Abaye and Rav Masna ta Abaye. Kereish lakish tarna peirush rips the Torah chayvi malchus ke chayvi misos. So according to the Mandarma who says, meaning Reish Lakish, who says that the Torah goes ahead and treats Chayvi Malkios like Chayvi Misos, meaning in terms of Tashlum and Malkos, Man Tana de Palgiz Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, who is the Tana who ultimately argues Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, to which the Gemara says, E Rabbi Meir, E Rabbi Yitzchak. It could either be Rabbi Meir, or it could be Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi said, this brings this particular sugya, this piece, to a close. So what comes out from this sugya is the following. We are left with a fundamental machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So here is pretty much what everyone agrees with. Let's just, because we should end this piece. We're going to go on still, but end this piece with a little bit of clarity. So here's what everybody agrees with. Everyone agrees essentially what Ravin said on Amud Aleph, which was what? Chayve miso shogigin kuli amalo pligi dipturin. Here's what everybody agrees with. Everyone agrees that obviously we say there's no miso mishalim. You can't get a death penalty and have to pay. We saw yesterday that again, you can get misa and knas. That's the interesting piece. You can get a death penalty and a penalty payment that you can get. Here's everybody agrees. If you did something, if you did an act b'shogeg, that had you did it b'mezid, you'd be chayv misa. So in other words, you killed b'shogeg. Everyone agrees in that situation that what? You do not have to pay. There is no tashlumin. I will say the logic behind that shita is because wherever there is death, a death penalty, or the possibility of a death penalty, meaning if you've done an act that carries with it the possibility of a death penalty according to the halacha, there is no obligation to pay. Even if what? You're not being put to death. Okay. The machlokes case is in a case of malchus. Okay, so here's what happens if I didn't act that had I done it intentionally would have carried with it a case a achiv of malchus, but now what? I did it unintentionally. So the shaila now is, I'm not going to get malchus. Why am I not going to get malchus? Because I did it unintentionally. You only get malchus if you do the act intentionally. So I did it unintentionally, no chiyuv malchus. The question is now, is there a chiyuv tashlumin? So we'll say this is the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, you are chayiv to pay. You are chayiv to pay. Ultimately, Reish Lakish says you are not chayiv to pay. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that in a malchus bearing situation, in a case where you'd be chayiv for malchus, if you did it intentionally, obviously if you're getting malchus, you're not paying. But if you did it unintentionally, therefore you're not chayiv malchus, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan that in such a situation, you would actually be obligated to pay. Fine. Let's go right there a little bit. So Tana Rabbana, we'll say just a little bit. Tana Rabbana, so we learned Arayos, Ushnios La Arayos. So if a person went ahead and violated a woman who's either an erva or she's a shnia. Now I'll say we'll discuss what these words mean in just a moment. Ein lahen lo knas velo pitui. If he violated her, he's not chayiv to pay the knas, the penalty. And if he seduced her, he is not chayiv to pay either. Okay, we'll discuss why that is. Hamima'enes. Now I'll say the Mima'enes, remember, is the case of an orphan girl who was married off by her mother or her brother, right, to a man. That is only rabbinic marriage. Because it's only rabbinic marriage, she has the ability to refuse that marriage whenever she wants. Whenever she wants. So she has the right to say, no thank you. Right to say, no thank you. Right? In la knas. If she is violated, she also, there's no knas and there's no pitui. So she doesn't get the knas, or for she doesn't get the knas if she's violated, and she doesn't get the penalty payment if she is seduced. Now Rashi points out over here, now we're going to go through each of these cases, but Rashi points out over here, Hamima Enes, the reason why she doesn't have a knas, she'in becheskas besula. She's not, remember, well, so we've already established that in order for a woman to be able to get the knas, she has to be besula. So the assumption is that if she's married, if she has been married, even if she's been married as a ketana, she is not a besula. So because of that, again, she doesn't get the knas or pitui. Islandess. Similarly, again, if a woman is an islandess, I will say, remember, an islandess is a woman who never develops signs of physical maturation. Ain la lo kinas velo pitui. She also is not entitled to the kinas if she's violated, and not to the pitui if she is seduced. Rashi points out, the logic over here is because, remember, an islandess, interestingly enough, goes from the state of kitana to the state of bagrus. She skips over the stage of na'arus, because na'arus is a stage that is defined by exhibiting signs of physical maturation. She skips over the stage of na'arus, goes from kitana to ultimately bogeris. Because there is no na'arus stage, remember, at least according to some, a woman is only entitled to the knas and pitui when she is a na'ara. Next, Vayotzeis Mishum Shemra. If a woman is divorced from her husband because of Shemra, then I will say, now we'll discuss exactly what this is. Rashi points out over here that this seems to be a case of a woman who was divorced by her husband because the husband believes that she was not a Basula. He never found Basulim. So in this case also, if she is violated or if she is seduced by a man, Ein la knas velo pitui, she is not entitled to the knas, to the penalty payment for violation, or for the penalty payment for being seduced. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to go back and analyze these cases. Maya Rayos Amashnios. Remember, again, the case number one was, the Brisa said, that if a man violates a woman who's an erva, or is a shnia, either primary Arayos, secondary Arayos, there's no knas and there's no pitui. There's no penalty payment for violating her, and there's no penalty payment for seducing her. So what do these terms mean? Ilema Arayos, taf of lamed vav, Arayos mamish. If you say that Arayos mamish means Arayos, meaning literally biblical prohibitions of women who you're not allowed to have relations with or marry, so shnios midivrei sovrim, and then again, secondary Arayos means rabbinically prohibited women. Keva de midorai sechazile, amai eilen knas. So I understand why if I violate a woman who is a biblical prohibition, there's no knas. Why is there no knas? Because the Pasha says, killing bidrabimine, right? There's a more severe penalty that's going to devolve upon me. But for these women who are only rabbinically prohibited, why would there not be a knas if I violate her, if I seduce her? Ella Arayos, rather, must be that Arayos means chayve misos bezdin. Rather, Arayos means, refers to women who relations with them carries with it a penalty of misas bezdin. Okay, then if I seduce or I violate such a woman like that, there is no chiyuv misa. Shnios chayve krisos. And shnios refers to women who are asur to me out of a penalty of kares. And therefore, again, if I violate either of these women, there's no chiyuv of knas repitui. Avachave lavin. But if I violate a woman who quote unquote is only prohibited to me through a lav, yesh lahen knas. In that situation, there would be a penalty payment. Umani, and whose opinion does this reflect? Shimon HaTimnihi. This also would reflect the view of Shimon HaTimnihi. Remember again, let's go back a little bit. Remember what Shimon HaTimnihi said? Shimon HaTimnihi said that you are only chayef to pay the penalty payment for violating or seducing a woman if what? If you could potentially marry her. I can't marry a woman who is subject to Misas Bezdin, who is asur to me because of Misas. I can't marry a woman who is asur to me because of Karis, but I can technically marry a woman who is only asura through a love. If she is asura through a love, technically, Kiddushin Tovsin, because Kiddushin Tovsin, therefore what? I'd be chayef to pay her the penalty payment if I violate or seduce her. Igadami, another version of this is, Arayos chayve misos bezdin, the chayve krisos. Other version says that Arayos refers to relationships that are punishable by death at a bezdin or kares, and shnios are chayve lavin. And shnios would be chayve lavin. Aye, so why would I not be chayef for a penalty payment if I violate a woman who is asur to me because of chayve lavin? Because whose opinion does it reflect? Money? Rabbi Shimon Manasi. You're supposed to remember, what does Shimon Manasi say? Shimon Manasi said, only chayef to pay the penalty payment to what? To who? To a woman whose relationship is sustainable. But if the relationship is not sustainable, like in the case of a lav, even though technically I can affect kiddushin, but because the kiddushin is not sustainable, therefore what? I am not chayef to pay. So also, halacha ma'aseh, we're passing over here, is that Arayos in this case, refers to chayve misos bezdin, and Chayv Misas Bezin, and Shnios refers to Chayv Krisus. That's how we understand this particular Brisa over here. And therefore, I will say, in any case where relations with this woman carries with it either a death penalty or a Chiv Kares, I'm going to be exempt from the penalty payment, either for violating her or for seducing her, because Kimle Bedrabmine, because obviously I've just incurred a much more significant prohibition or much more significant punishment. But if Halacha Lamaisa, I violated or seduced a woman who is only asura to me through a law, through a prohibition, in such a situation like that, since technically speaking I could affect Kiddushin with her, in such a situation like that, I would be chayv to pay the penalty payment for seducing or violating her. I think we'll stop over here.
Anybody can help with us now at 6:45.